From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. That you have joined us for another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring messages preached by Dr. Alan Cairns, founder of Let the Bible Speak Radio Ministries. Currently, Dr. Cairns is bringing a series of studies in the earthly life and ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ, messages that focus on the Savior Himself as revealed in His teaching and miracles, His atoning death on the cross, and His glorious resurrection. We'll hear from Dr. Cairns in just a few minutes. First of all, we invite you to enjoy this devotional thought from the pen of Charles Haddon Spurgeon, as found in his collection called Morning and Evening.
This morning's text is found in Song of Solomon, chapter 1 and verse 4. The upright love thee. Believers love Jesus with a deeper affection than they dare to give to any other being. They would sooner lose father and mother than part with Christ. They hold all earthly comforts with a loose hand, but they carry Him fast locked in their bosoms. They voluntarily deny themselves for His sake, but they are not to be driven to deny Him. It is scant love which the fire of persecution can dry up. The true believer's love is a deeper stream than this. Men have labored to divide the faithful from their Master, but their attempts have been fruitless in every age. Neither crowns of honor nor frowns of anger have untied this more than Gordian knot. This is no everyday attachment which the world's power may at length dissolve. Neither man nor devil have found a key which opens this lock. Never has the craft of Satan been more at fault than when he's exercised it in seeking to rend in sunder this union of two divinely welded hearts. It is written, and nothing can blot out the sentence, "The upright love thee." The intensity of the love of the upright, however, is not so much to be judged by what it appears as by what the upright long for. It is our daily lament that we cannot love enough. Would that our hearts were capable of holding more and reaching further. Like Samuel Rutherford, we sigh and cry, "Oh, for as much love as would go round about the earth, and over heaven, yea, the heaven of heavens, and 10,000 worlds, that I might let all out upon fair, fair, only fair Christ." Alas, our longest reach is but a span of love, and our affection is but as a drop of a bucket compared with His deserts. Measure our love by our intentions, and it is high indeed. 'Tis thus we trust our Lord doth judge of it. Oh, that we could give all the love in all hearts in one great mass, a gathering together of all loves, to Him who is altogether lovely.
Thank you.
The selection you have just heard is part of a CD entitled Our Song of Praise, featuring the piano artistry and arrangements of Joan J. Pinkston. For over 40 years, Joan taught music theory, hymn playing, and composition to thousands of Christian young people at Bob Jones University. During that time, she sought to instill in them a Christ-centered view of sacred music. Joan's philosophy of sacred music is summed up in these words: "There is really no such thing as sacred music without words. It is the Word of God that draws a Christian closer to Christ. Only when biblical thoughts are expressed in words, as with a psalm, a hymn, or a spiritual song, can any music be considered sacred. When the message of the words and the impact of the music are in harmony, the greatest communication takes place." Our Song of Praise features 13 of Joan's arrangements of such favorite hymns as Jesus Paid It All Hail the Power of Jesus' Name, and Be Thou My Vision. These sensitive renditions are sure to bring blessing to your heart and mind each time you listen to them. Copies of Our Song of Praise are available free of charge from Let the Bible Speak. Simply email info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Or you may telephone 864-244-2408. That's 864-244-2408. If you wish, you may write to Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Contact us today for your free copy of Our Song of Praise. On today's broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, Dr. Cairns brings the concluding portion of a message entitled Gethsemane, Christ's Perfection Revealed in the Fires of Testing. From his text in John chapter 18, Dr. Cairns has been concentrating on three aspects of Christ's perfections as revealed in the garden: Christ and his Father, Christ and his disciples, and Christ and his enemies. In relation to his Father, the Lord Jesus submitted himself completely to the Father's will, desiring only that God would be glorified in the agony of Gethsemane. In the midst of his own suffering, Christ was mindful of the battles his disciples were facing. In love, he spared them from the savage and unrelenting attack of Satan. In his relation to his enemies, we see Christ's sovereign purpose: enduring suffering to accomplish the greater end of saving sinners through his death on the cross. His powerful declaration, "I am he," was a word of comfort to believers, but a word of alarm to his enemies. Now Dr. Cairns concludes this message, Gethsemane, Christ's Perfection Revealed in the Fires of Testing.
Oh, the Savior was protecting his people. They didn't understand, they didn't know, they couldn't see his protection, but yet he was protecting them. What a beautiful picture. Can you put it all together? His watch care, his protection. That's why we were singing those words of Augustus' Top Lady, "A sovereign protector I have." There's one who neither slumbers nor sleeps. There's one whose heart never changes, whose mind and will never alter. There's one whose love is never diminished. There's one whose care is as changeless as God. And he stands for our protection. I see that he taught his disciples what it was to trust completely in the sovereign purpose of God, to give up all carnal means and let God do His own work in His own way. He said to Peter, as we read, put up your sword. Peter, your little sword can do nothing in this battle. Put up your sword. Just trust and obey. Here's Christ and His disciples, the perfection of our Savior. My time is gone, and I have only a moment to deal with Christ and His enemies and try to show you the perfection of Christ, the sovereign. There are two sovereign things that are obvious here, and one is the sovereign purpose of Christ. He could have called more than 12 legions of angels, but He didn't. Why? Certainly it was to do the Father's will, but also because it was His own choice. He is the sovereign Christ. Something else, He could have smitten those foes. Obviously He could, because by the very use of His name, He drove them backwards and they fell to the ground. So why did He not smite them? Now here we enter into one of the great conundrums of Christian ethics, or of an even deeper part of theology. It's called theodicy. If you want to know all about theodicy that you need to know, just look up my dictionary article and you'll see how much I don't know. But it's a very deep subject. It is the vindication of the justice of God in the light of the things that God allows that seem to be evil and that are evil. Well, here's a great insight. Why does the Savior not smite these enemies? Why does He allow them to go on with their wicked and vile and filthy schemes? Why does John tell us there was Judas standing with them and Jesus didn't smite him? Why did He allow those hands to be put upon Him when He could have, with one word, with one thought, He could have launched them all into eternity? Why did He permit the evil? While I have no ultimate answer as to why God does anything except that He wills to do it and therefore it is worthy of Him and it is right, I can say this, that He suffered their wickedness to achieve an even greater purpose. And why to the disciples it all looked so terrible and so much of a defeat? Acts chapter 2 verse 23 tells me very clearly that those wicked hands, responsible for all that they were doing, evil and moved by Satan as they were, yet in the sovereign purpose of an absolute God, those wicked hands were actually working out the very determined purpose that God had laid down from all eternity. In other words, He makes the wrath of man to praise Him. Why does He allow evil to continue in the world? Why does He allow wicked men to tyrannize good men? Why does He allow vile and false religion to overthrow truth? Why does He allow so much suffering and sin to continue when with one word He could destroy it all? Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in Thy sight. It's the ultimate answer I could give. But He is allowing the temporary use of the powers of hell in order to proclaim and procure the greater good. And all I can tell you is, when it's all finished, we will stand back in amazement and we will say, He hath done all things well. There's His sovereign purpose. And you see His sovereign power confounding His enemies. I love this where He says, I am. And they fall backwards. Some commentators want to deny that this is a use of the divine name. I don't know how they can do it in the light of the evidence. I am is the name of Jehovah given to Moses in Exodus chapter 3. Great commentator in the Gospel of John, William Van Doren, calls it a great and significant expression, never without the most powerful effects. Take a moment to consider this with me. John 6:20. He said, I am to his disciples as he walked in the waves, and he calmed both their hearts and the raging sea. In John 4:26-30, he speaks to the woman at the well of Sychar. And he says, I am. Immediately she left her water pot and became the first evangelist in Samaria. In Mark 14:62, he said, I am. And it was spoken, if I may quote Van Doren, it was spoken at the bar of the Sanhedrin. And the conviction that he was really the Messiah smote the minds of his judges so powerfully that it was only by the means of a stage trick of rending his clothes that the high priest was able to save himself from the most painful embarrassment. In Luke 24:39, he said, I am to his terrified disciples when he appeared to them after the resurrection, and the immediate result was their lives were changed forever. So we're not surprised when here in the text he says, I am. And they fall backwards. Van Doren beautifully says that this is a word of unutterable comfort and joy to his friends, and unutterable alarm and misery to his foes. Then that raises the question, what will be the effect of that same I am when spoken by the Lord of glory in the day of judgment? You see, my friend, you and I are going to meet the great I am. We meet him here on earth in the troubles of life. Lord, the Lord, I am Jesus. And that will be either unutterable comfort or unspeakable alarm. The I am will either be the word that brings you welcomingly to heaven or condemns you eternally to hell. His sovereign power in his name confounds his enemies. Can you see his sovereign power in healing Malchus? This is one of the most beautiful things I find in the Gospels. The Lord Jesus reaches out to that bleeding mess, touches him. That man's there to kill him if he can. He's a blasphemer. Do you know one of the most amazing things to me in the whole New Testament? That I never read the name of Malchus among the disciples of Christ. If you ever want to know the total depravity of man, you've got a picture of it. Can you imagine? There you are in the garden. You've just missed getting your head cut off, for that's what Peter intended. You've just missed getting your head cut off. You've ducked away. You've lost an ear. And the Lord Jesus reaches out and he touches you, and in an instant he heals you, and you continue as his enemy. Can you imagine that? And yet, you know, people do it all the time. You see, this is what John Calvin would have called, and his followers would have called, common grace. Here's, the Lord Jesus didn't save Malchus, he healed him. Did Malchus deserve to be healed? Not at all. He was a rascal. The Irishman in me says he didn't get half as much as he deserved. He got a whole lot better from Christ than ever he deserved. Christ restored him to health and wholeness. But all the common grace in the world, it's not enough to save a sinner. Some of you have health and strength, and you take it from the hand of God, and what do you use it for? You use it for the very same purpose that Malchus was using his body, to oppose Christ and live for the devil. Some of you have had life and time and abilities. You've been brought up in a Christian home. You've been raised under Christian education. You've had an open Bible all your life. You've been given health and strength and food and clothing. You've been surrounded with all the many multiplied blessings of the goodness of God. Listen, if God dropped you into hell today, you would have to say, Lord, thou art righteous, for he has dealt with you a whole lot better than you ever deserved. And yet, are there not some of you here just like Malchus? Thanks for my ear, Lord, but I'll use it for the devil's purpose anyway. May God forgive you. And in his grace, may he lead you beyond such common grace, common only in that God gives to all men more than they deserve, and lead you to that sovereign grace that will bring you to faith and repentance toward God and his Christ. And then you see his sovereign power in protecting his own. As I say, he would not let them go. No evil hand could touch them. Because, as verse 9 makes it clear, our sovereign Redeemer never loses one of his own. Sometimes, you know, when you're saved, the old devil would tempt you. Well, maybe you'll falter at the end. I couldn't tell you the number of times that thought used to come to me, especially in missionary meetings where I'd be hearing about people who were so brave and they could give their lives for Christ. They could go into situations that would make me tremble to think of them. As a young fellow, I used to wonder, put to the test, would I not fail the Lord? Would he not have to give me up at the end? That's why again we sang Top Lady's great hymn. Listen, my security is not my grip on him. My security is his grip on me. Never forget it. And he will never suffer himself to lose one of his own. I trust today that you've seen a little. This is one of those, well, it's very usual with me, but this is one of those passages I must confess that when I've been to it and gone away from it, I realize that were I 100 times more skillful than I am, I still haven't done it justice. I stand amazed at the perfection of the Christ of God. And I bless God that the light of the Son and the Savior, the Sovereign, still shines in this world of darkness in all its beauty. I trust that today some of those beams will fall on you and fall on me.
Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, founded by Dr. Alan Cairns. Let the Bible Speak is also heard in many parts of the world through the international radio outreach of Let the Bible Speak, produced in Northern Ireland. The Free Presbyterian Church stands without apology for the absolute inerrancy of the Bible, emphasizing preaching that centers on the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ, and is militant in its stand against the ecumenical apostasy and the efforts of the world to infiltrate the church. For further information about the Free Presbyterian Church, you may email info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. You may call us at 864-244-2408. Or you may write Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Again, that's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Also, we encourage you to visit the website of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America at www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. This is Charles Kelsch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we let the Bible speak.